Well, grace and peace to you. I'm Vicar Derek Kabilis, and this is Exile Cast for Friday, the 8th of April, in the year of our Lord, 2022. Over the past 5 weeks, me and about 15 to 20 other people have been meeting in the chapel of the church every Thursday night to pray something called Compline, which is basically just prayers that are intended to complete the day, hence the name. And during that service, we've sat in silence for really long periods of time. We've heard stories and wisdom from Christian authors of the past. We have examined the moments of our lives and expressed both gratitude and sorrow to God. We've chanted and we've prayed for all who work or watch or weep each night. And every time we've met together, we've taken communion. In other words, we've been worshiping together. And even though the liturgy was the exact same each and every single week, I gotta tell you, this has been one of the best worship experiences of my 4 years at this church. There is something about it that has been so weighty and powerful. Quiet, solemn, but nevertheless full of all the joy and sorrow that fills our lives. It has been a true prayer, a true expression of everything that is inside of us to God. At least that's how I've experienced it. Now, if you weren't able to make it out, and that's something you would still like to experience for yourself, if that's something that you haven't felt in a while, and if it's something that you long for, then I would like to invite you to come to church during Holy Week. Growing up as a kid, my church didn't really celebrate Holy Week. Oh, sure, we had Palm Sunday, and we joyfully waved our palm branches in the air as we sang Hosanna to the Son of David, and then the next week we celebrated Easter, and we had a brass band and lots of flowers and sang big hymns, everyone wearing their best clothes, and it was like we had two happy and festive celebrations right in a row. What we were missing, however, and I didn't even figure this out until I went to college, was everything that happens in between. The betrayal, the fear, the darkness of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So this year, I personally want to invite you to come on out to Holy Week at Uniontown. We will be having a Holy Thursday service at 7 p.m., a Good Friday service at 7 on Friday, and a very special Easter vigil we'll be celebrating with Greensburg United Methodist Church at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. And these services are designed to immerse us into the Passion narrative, to bring us face to face with all that Jesus experienced during that most holy of weeks. And I won't lie, okay? It is kind of dark sometimes. Some folks don't like that to be part of their church experience, and it's true. It is sometimes dark and difficult, and coming to all those services, it's a lot of church, and afterward you can feel sort of sad and worn out. But then, and you gotta trust me on this, Easter Sunday becomes brighter and more magical than it has ever been. And you feel the beauty and the lightness of joy and joy of our redemption more than you ever have in the past. So I hope you come out to Holy Week. Those that come to all the services will get a special gift, and we'll have a good time. Even though it might be kind of sad sometimes, even though it might feel kind of solemn, it's an experience. And ultimately, it is an experience that leads to joy. So I hope to see you this week. Stick around. We have quite a sermon for you today.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I wish to preach to you this morning from the title, "The Essence of Christ." It's not my best title, but yeah, "The Essence of Christ." Please pray with me. And now, most holy and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O God, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The air after a summer's rain. Bread baking in the kitchen. The inside of your favorite bookstore. The top of a baby's head. What are the smells that move your soul? You know, sometimes my wife and I will be taking our dogs for a walk together on a nice day, and all of a sudden she'll just stop dead in her tracks and just go, "Ah," and she'll say, "It smells like Lakeside right now." Well, what does Lakeside smell like? Lake Erie, fresh cut grass, Sloopy's Pizza. There's probably 1,000 different ingredients that make that smell, but every once in a while, even right here in Uniontown, the air will be just right. And for that moment, Maggie will be transported back to when she used to vacation with her parents there. For me, it's the old perfume, White Diamonds. Y'all know White Diamonds? Do they still make White Diamonds? No, not really? Well, people still have it, I know, because my grandma Cabillas, loved Elizabeth Taylor, and she loved her White Diamonds perfume. So anytime I'm in a place where there are a lot of senior ladies hanging out, which, given my line of work, happens quite a bit, I'll just be going about my business, and wham, it'll feel like Grandma's right behind me. There's just something about smell, isn't there? No other human sense can evoke memory and emotion the same way fragrance can. You see, the olfactory bulb at the top of your nasal cavity, the part of you that actually senses the smell, it has the shortest path of any nerve right to the brain. It's only about a half an inch. It's almost as if part of your brain itself is doing the smelling, which is why you never forget an odor. Think of fresh crayons, or the smell of your childhood home, your high school gym, your first car. Those last two probably didn't smell particularly good, but they stay with you forever, do they not? And if we happen to come across them later in life, it's almost as if we are pulled back through time and space, even if just for a moment, and we can feel something of what we felt back then. Of course, odor can have the opposite effect as well. More than anything else, odor can also push us away. For instance, if one of the dogs gets sick in our house, I have to be the one to clean it up. Because if Maggie has to do it, I know that more than likely I'll be cleaning up two messes on the floor. Because she can't take the smell, you know? I know that's the thing, though. Smell has both a push and a pull to it, doesn't it? On one hand, nothing can pull us in like a warm and inviting fragrance. And nothing is quite as efficient at pushing us away. But what I find really interesting are the things that do both at the same time. For instance, I knew someone from a previous church who had lost her husband like 8 years prior to me ever knowing her. But she told me that she had been sleeping on the couch ever since. The first night after he passed away, she said she caught a whiff of him on her pillow. And while some part of her would love to experience that again, that sense memory, she also knows that it would probably trigger her grief. It's a push and a pull. Or take our passage this morning. The scene where Mary of Bethany anoints Jesus' feet and then wipes them with her hair is one of the most evocative and moving passages in all the Gospels. But at its heart, it's about the push and the pull of smell. First of all, if you can, imagine getting that close to Jesus' feet. I mean, you gotta remember now, these are our first century desert feet, okay? These ain't Uniontown feet or Hartville feet, and they sure aren't Village of Green feet. We have absorbent socks and loofahs and moisturizer. All they had was dirt, heat, and leather. To touch another's feet in that culture was even more of a scandal than it is today. Here, you can go to a place where you can actually pay someone to give you a pedicure, right? But in that culture, washing someone's feet was a job that could only be done by a slave. Feet were considered not just nauseating, but actually dishonorable. In touching them could make one ritually unclean. It was a religious taboo, and yet Mary gets close enough to Jesus' feet that she can clean them and wipe them with her own hair. Not even a wife would get that close to her husband's feet back then. So what could possibly be pulling this woman across the gap of gender to violate all of these social norms just so she could get close to something so dirty? Well, this is where you got to know the story of Mary of Bethany, right? Mary wasn't just some starstruck fan girl fawning over a sweaty towel at a concert. Mary was a sister, and her brother died. You remember her brother, don't you? His name was Lazarus, and when he first died, both Mary and her sister Martha were both sad, but they were also very mad. And in particular, they were mad at Jesus because they thought that he could have saved their brother. And Mary was so upset, she didn't even come out of the house to see Jesus when he arrived. Martha did come out, and she told him all. "If you had been here," she said, "my brother would not have died." So what did Jesus say? "Then take away the stone." What? You can't do that. That's the stone to the tomb. He's in the tomb. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." She said, "You can't do that. It stinks in there. He's been there for 4 days. His body has been in the heat of that desert cave. And you want to pull away the only thing between us and the putrid stench of death." Have you ever smelled the flesh of a rotting animal? When I was a kid, I was playing in the woods behind my parents' house, and I stumbled across the carcass of a rotting deer. And you want to talk about a smell that pushes you away. I ran as fast as I could, nearly gagging the whole way home. When I got there, my mom made me hop right in the shower. But that smell, it stays with you. The stench of death, it feels like you've been penetrated by it, infected with it. That's why touching dead bodies, just like touching someone's dirty, smelly feet, was considered unclean. I wonder how Lazarus smelled after he was raised from the dead. I mean, I'm sure that odor had to linger about him a bit, didn't it? It had to be in the air that came out of the cave. It had to be on the bandages around his limbs, the residue still clinging to his skin. I'm sure that Mary and Martha, the whole family, was well acquainted with the putrid stench of death. Their whole house probably reeked of it. But you know what? When Lazarus first poked his head inside the door, his sister Mary probably ran right up to him and threw her arms around his neck anyway. Death is an odor that pushes, but life Life is a fragrance that pulls all the harder. See, that's what Jesus does. He doesn't just take away the stench from our lives like he's just hitting it with a little Febreze because people are coming over, right? No, he gets close to it first. There ain't no stink that can push Jesus away. Amen? No, what he does is he bids it to come to him. He bids the stink, he orders the stink to come out of the shadows. He rolls away the stones and he calls it out so that he can face off the dark and smelly parts of all of our lives. Even when we want to run away because we feel like somehow the putridness of it is going to penetrate us. But Jesus penetrates the putrid. Do you know what I mean by that? He pulls the rot in close, and then somehow he invades and sanctifies it from the inside out. In the church, we have a name for that. It's called incarnation. I think that's why Mary gets so close to Jesus' feet. Why she wipes them with her hair and covers them with a whole year's wage worth of perfume. Can you imagine that? $40,000, $50,000 worth of perfume dumped all over this homeless man's smelly feet. But that's the only thing she could do. Jesus turned the overwhelming stench of death into the sweet fragrance of life. The foul miasma of grief and anger and sadness that hung in Mary's heart replaced by the ambrosial aroma of gratitude. Jesus healed the stinkiest thing in her soul. So the best she could do was clean the stinkiest part of his body. And then there's Judas. Oh, there's always a Judas, amen? Someone who's always around, but just doesn't quite seem to get it. You know, someone who's always finding fault, always coming up with something to criticize. Folks, I've served in plenty of churches in my life, and in every one, there's always a few folks that I'm like, really? How long you been in church now, and all you can do is criticize and condemn? You still ain't got it? Yes, okay, I admit it. He had a point, okay? The nard could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. Congratulations, yes. It was far too extravagant of a gesture. Yes, Christians ought to always be on the side of the poor. Yes, we should all be upset if we saw a $40,000 line item for something called footnard in the church budget, okay? So Jesus says to him, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Now I'll be the first to admit that for all conservative folks, for all that they love him, sometimes Jesus makes the conservative folks kind of cagey, right? If you're conservative, you know this is true. He's always talking about the poor, giving everything to the poor, doing everything for the poor. But that line, you will always have the poor, That line drives the Bernie bros up a wall, does it not? I mean, sure, Jesus, we should be practical, right? Imagine all the good we could do with all of that money. Imagine the lives we could save if we could just start a government program, the medical debt we could pay down, the food we could put into hungry tummies. All of that is absolutely true. No question about it. But pointing to the nard, by always pointing to the money, by always pointing to the practical and the sensible and the reasonable, Judas and all those who think like him actually push the poor away. Sure, he's okay with giving money, but the whole time he's still holding something back, right? Himself. Judas is so focused on the empirical, the down-to-earth, the nuts and bolts of things, he cannot see what's truly unfolding here. He can't grasp the symbolism. He cannot be penetrated by the truth that he's called to pour himself out. Like Mary poured that nard. Jesus pulled death close. So Mary pulled his feet close to her face. Jesus filled Mary's stinky world with the fragrance of life. So Mary is going to fill her whole house with the joyful, extravagant fragrance of nard. Jesus blessed her and her family. So she's going to pour herself out at his dying feet. She is doing for Jesus what Jesus did to her, or at least as well as she can approximate it. She's doing her part to transform and transfigure the world around her. She is doing her part to evoke gratitude. She is doing something to try to conjure a blessing from whatever is at her disposal. Do you see it yet? Or are you still clouded? Like Judas, still looking at a flat, two-dimensional reality. Friends, we are the nard. And Jesus is trying to pour us out onto the feet of a dying world. The word essence, one of the words that we use for smell, essence, it comes from the Latin word esse, which literally means being. It's the word for am, to be. It means existence. It means identity. That's what your essence is. You are the fragrant offering that Jesus will use to wilt the stink of death and replace it with his own light and life. So why then do you hold yourself back? These words I offer to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Years ago, when my niece Molly was just an infant, I was playing with her, and all of a sudden, my eyes started to water and I felt like gagging. And I told her mom, hey, Bonnie, I think Molly could use a diaper change over here. And you know what she did? She pulled up that child right up so that her butt was right next to her face and gave a big sniff. Yep, she said. I thought, man, how can you do that? She said, it's different when they're your own. You get used to it. Now, it must be a genetic thing because Beowulf is my own and I've been picking up after him for 6 years and I'm still not used to that, but I get what she's trying to say. When you love someone, you don't mind having to come close to their stink in order to clean them up and make them feel better. And so, I leave you with this question today. What's the stink of this world that God is calling you to pull close to? I know it's gross. I know it can make you want to gag. But friends, believe me when I tell you, you are the nard bought at a great price. Now go and fill this house with all the fragrance of Christ. May the love of God the Father, the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and be with you, now and always. Amen.